With that introduction in mind, let us just try to scratch the surface a little bit about the chashivus of Liman HaTorah, particularly the importance of Liman HaTorah b'chabura, and on top of that, the importance of Liman HaTorah when it's done in an aspect of halacha lemaisa. Number one, the Torah has in three different places in Sefer Devarim the mention of our obligation to learn Torah. Number one, the pasuk says, "V'limadatem osamas b'neichem ledaber bam." We have an obligation to teach our children and to learn Torah all the time when we're coming, when we're going, when we're traveling, when we're home. The Torah then repeats that again in Sefer Devarim Perakei, V'limadatem osam ushmartem la'asosam. We have an obligation to learn the mitzvahs HaTorah and to observe them. The Torah then repeats that again, V'shinantam levanecha v'dibartabam v'shivtecha b'vesecha. Very famously in the first parak in Sefer Yehoshua, it says, V'hagisevo yamam v'layla. So Liman HaTorah is something we all have an obligation to be engaged in. It is so central that the Mishnah writes in Maseches Peah, something that we say every morning, the Talmud Torah keneged kulam, that Talmud Torah is considered to be more important than anything else, any other mitzvah, any other endeavor. In fact, I got a question just yesterday from a woman in our neighborhood who has a number of family members, not in her immediate home, but a number of extended family members who unfortunately have COVID. And she told me that for whatever reason, she needs to be there to take care of them. The aides who were supposed to take care of the elderly grandparents are not coming now because of COVID. They're concerned. And she has to take care of her grandparents. And she said that her husband learns in one of the yeshivas. And she has to call him home because the kids are coming home from school at 3 o'clock. And she doesn't have anybody to watch them because she's busy taking care of her parents and grandparents. And the question now becomes whether or not she is able to call her husband back from yeshiva. I said to her, the first question you should be asking is it safe for you to be in that home with COVID? So she's like, oh, I have to talk to my doctor. I said, maybe you should make the first call to the doctor, and then we'll discuss the other aspect. But when it comes to the second aspect of that, it's actually a good question. She said, the Talmud Torah keneged kulam. It says the Talmud Torah is greater than anything else, so how can I call my husband home if he's learning just because I have to take care of somebody who's sick? And the answer is that that is correct, but it's incorrect, because the Gemara says that although it's true that Talmud Torah is considered to be the greatest endeavor we can ever do, it is only when you have a mitzvah she'efshar lasos al yedei acherim that Talmud Torah overrides. So if I have a mitzvah that can be taken care of by 10 other people, then I don't stop learning Torah to go and take care of that mitzvah. But let's say I have a mitzvah opportunity where nobody else can do it. So in this case, there's nobody else who can take care of her children other than her husband. There's no shaila, there's no question that that's what you need to do. It doesn't lower the value of Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is keneged kulam. But the whole objective of learning Torah is to give us the opportunity to observe the mitzvah HaTorah that we learn. And therefore, if you have a mitzvah opportunity that comes your way and there's nobody else who can do it, obviously you stop whatever you're doing and you go ahead and do that. In fact, the Gemara says in Maseches Kiddushin, Tchilas dino shel adam al divrei Torah. We're all going to be challenged. La'achar me'e ve'esrim shana. Kodesh Baruch Hu's going to ask us many, many questions. And the Gemara says that Tchilas dino shel adam, the beginning of that conversation, a very uncomfortable conversation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have with us, is going to be about divrei Torah. And that's something that really is, I hope, that all of us have the opportunity to answer with confidence. Yes, we come to a shir every week. We go to a daf yomi shir. We go to whatever it is. We say Tehillim. We do something to show that yes, v'hagisavo yomam v'layla, we are engaged in Talmud Torah, and it's something that is fundamental, and it's essential, it's central to our lives, and it's something that we care very much about. The Ramchal, one of the great philosophers, one of the great Balei Machshava, writes in a Sefer Derech Hashem, that although living in Galus, the Pasuk says in Sefer Eicha, b'machshakim hoshivani, that now that we're in Galus, it's almost as if we're Megashesh ba'afela, we're like living in the dark. We don't even know where we are. We can't see our way around. Although that's true, the Ramchal writes, let's read it together here in number Aleph. Amnam, emtsai echad nasan lanu akel yizbarach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us one ability, one avenue. Shemadregasa lemaila mikol shar ha'emtsayim ha'mekarvim ha'adam elav. How is it that we can come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a world that is experiencing a horrific and horrible galus? Writes the Ramchal, there is only one way, and that is Talmud HaTorah. The greatest and most profound and productive way to make a relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam is through learning Torah. And he continues, Afal Pikein Raz Gadol Galulanu Chachamim, he says that if a person although they make mistakes in life and they don't do all the right things and they make poor choices, writes the Ramchal, quoting Chazal, that a person should continue to learn Torah. You might say, oh, what's the Torah worth? Look how they live the rest of their lives. The answer is it's not true. Because Chazal say that Ma'ar Shaba Machziran Lamutav, if somebody does something wrong, but they continue to hold on to the Torah and they continue to learn from the values of Torah, the understanding is that at some point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will allow that to seep in and it will change their character, it will change their personality, which is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to David HaMelech, Tov li yom echad sh'ata osik b'Torah lefanai. It's a Gemara Maseches Makos where it says, I appreciate and I value more profoundly one day of you learning Torah, David HaMelech, may elef olos she'asit Shlomo b'necha lahakri lefanai agabe amizbeach, then 1,000 karbanos that Shlomo HaMelech is going to bring. Your one day of Talmud Torah is worth more to me than any of that. And that is such a profound statement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes to David HaMelech, but it shows us how valuable Talmud Torah is in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, although that's true, that we all have an obligation of Talmud Torah, there is something to think about, and that is that the fact that when we learn Torah b'chabura, when we learn Torah together, our Torah is enhanced. How so? Number one, the Mishnah writes in Maseches Avos, that if you have one person who's learning Torah, the Shekhinah is there. If you have two people who are learning Torah, the Shekhinah is there. Three people learning Torah, the Shekhinah is there. 5, 10. So the Mefarshim ask, if the Shekhinah is there when one person is learning Torah, why does the Mishnah have to say the Shekhinah is there when 10 people are learning Torah? And the answer is, the Aruch HaNer writes in one of his tshuvas, the answer is, his tshuva is called Binyan Tzion, but he also wrote the Sefer Aruch HaNer of Yaakov Ettlinger. He writes that the reason why is because when we talk about Shekhinah, there are different degrees of how much Shekhinah you can be in contact with. One person who learns Torah, yes, has an encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you add another person to that mix, the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is felt more strongly. When you have 10 people who learn together, the power and potency of the Shekhinah that's there at that moment is so much deeper and so much stronger. And that's why learning Torah b'chabura, number one, is something that we engage HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we invite Him into the conversation. We invite HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the experience that's going on here together. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here with us. Berovam Hadras Melech. It gives a kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we learn together. But not only that, the Chafetz Chaim outlines 5 different reasons why he thinks learning Torah b'chabura has more value than learning Torah privately. Number one, says the Chafetz Chaim, because when you learn b'chabura, you have more of a kvius. You feel more accountable. You feel a sense of responsibility. Somebody who learns on their own, so something comes up in my house, something comes up in my life, I had a harder day at work, okay, I'll take off the day. If I know that all my friends are going to be somewhere, if I know that I am held accountable, and if I don't show up, someone's going to ask me, where were you? I feel a stronger sense of responsibility. And therefore, says the Chafetz Chaim, just on a practical level, it's something that is mechayev us more. It's something that makes us feel that we have more reason to show up because we have other people who are expecting us to be there. Number two, writes the Chafetz Chaim, when we learn Torah b'chabura, he says, we have an opportunity to be melamed Torah la'acherim. A very beautiful sentiment. Writes the Chafetz Chaim, not everybody is going to be a magid shir of daf yomi. We don't all have the ability. I don't know how to do that either. Rafi Fink, right, in our shul, people love his daf yomi. I don't give a daf shir. Not everybody has the ability to teach Torah to others. Some people are gifted with that, some people don't. But writes the Chafetz Chaim, when you learn Torah b'chabura, you have the ability to teach someone else. Inevitably, there's going to be somebody sitting next to you at some point who's going to say, hey, I'm not following. What did you just say? I missed that. And then you become the teacher of Torah. Writes the Chafetz Chaim, for so many people, it's a privilege that they'll never have in their lives. If I learn by myself, I'm limited to myself. If I learn together with other people, I have the ability every once in a while to be a melamed Torah la'acherim. Says the Chafetz Chaim, that's an unbelievable privilege. And that's something that we gain through learning Torah b'chabura. Number three, he says, when we learn b'chabura, issues become clarified. Issues become illuminated better. Everybody shares a perspective. And everybody helps to clarify the issue that's being discussed by the masa umatan, by the discussion that we have. Somebody asks a question, it brings up a point that nobody else may have thought of. And therefore, writes the Chafetz Chaim, that is a reason. And therefore, says the Chafetz Chaim, the Gemara tells us that Torah is nimshalala ish. Torah is like fire. In what way is Torah like fire? So the Chafetz Chaim says, Torah is like fire because when you want to light a bonfire, you can't just take one little stick. It's not going to work. It's going to light. It's going to go out. You have to put a whole bunch of sticks together, and then you have a large bonfire. Says the Chafetz Chaim, Torah is nimshala le'esh because when you want to have something that's impactful, something that is powerful in the experience of learning Torah, you put a bunch of sticks together, you have the whole chabura coming together, and then they're able to have a meaningful output. But most importantly, says the Chafetz Chaim, when we have a chabura of people who are learning together, miskadesh shem shamayim yoser, we have an opportunity to elevate HaKadosh Baruch Hu by doing so. And that is the most important thing whenever we engage in learning Torah, that we are interacting with the Ribono Shel Olam by coming together. It's a Kiddush Hashem that people come together and learn Torah together and show this community that this is what's important to us, that this is what we come out for at night, that although we're all exhausted and although it's very difficult, this is something that's valuable to us. Chafetz Chaim then writes an open letter outlining how one should prioritize their time in learning. And I identified so strongly with this letter. I just thought it was such a beautiful letter. I would love to read it together. It gave me so much chizuk to read the words of the Chafetz Chaim. We can all read it together. Maybe we'll skip a little bit here and there. But Chafetz Chaim in this letter is so relevant to our generation. Again, the Chafetz Chaim passed away in the 1930s. But what he wrote here is something that is so important for all of us. And he says, Bo yivur bameh yikva ikar limudo. Chafetz Chaim writes, I'm about to tell you, how should I allocate my time if I don't have that much time to learn? Which we don't. We're all busy making a parnasa. We're all busy doing whatever we're doing, taking care of our families, taking care of our children, our grandchildren, all the people who have chesed that they need us to do for them. Everybody's busy. But I have some time set aside to learn. So what should I do in that time? Writes the Chafetz Chaim, Yadua mashakasu ha-svarim, she'eshnei ofanei limud ha-Torah. There are two different types of learning Torah. Echad b'masha mekayim mitzvahs Talmud Torah. Number one, when I learn Torah, any part of Torah, I fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Uvazem mekayim b'chol davar shalomed afilu osek b'sod taharos she'eino noig b'zmanenu. Even if I'm learning taharos or kachin, that's not relevant. We don't have karbonos today. We don't have tumah v'tahara. Still, I'm learning Torah, and that's fine. And that's considered Talmud Torah. V'hasheni, writes the Chafetz Chaim, she'mechuyev lilmod kedei leida. The second aspect of Talmud Torah is that I need to learn in order that I should know eich lehisnaheg lemaisa. How should I live my life day to day? And in order to do that, I have to focus on the things that are relevant to our generation today. That aspect of Talmud Torah has precedence to anything else. So it's very nice to learn the Mishnayos and Taharos, and it's very nice to learn Seder Zrayim, but it's not relevant to us here in Chutz La'aretz right now, unfortunately. And therefore, writes the Chafetz Chaim, the priority needs to be to learn the aspects of Torah that are relevant to my day-to-day life. If I don't learn them, how am I ever going to know how to live as a Jew? U'mefurish b'Torah b'kama mekomos chiyuv limud hazeh. And the Torah tells us many places that we have an obligation. Uzchartem es kol mitzvos Hashem, va'asisem osam. The point of learning the mitzvos Hashem is that I should observe them, va'asisem. And he goes on and on. Now this is startling. He quotes a passage from the Prisha. The Prisha is one of the commentaries on the tour. And the Prisha writes what in his description is the average balabas in his community. Amazing. How many hours do you think the average balabas in our community learns every day? It's a bad premise of a question. How many minutes do you think the average balabas in our... It's not a condemnation, I'm just saying. What would you say is the average balabas in our community's learning schedule every day? So somebody goes to the Daf Yomi, let's say, and those are, you know, that's already a serious madrega that you're going to the Daf Yomi. That's a very serious commitment. So you go to the Daf Yomi. How long is the Daf Yomi here? 40 minutes, 35 minutes, 40 minutes, something like that, right? On a long day, it's 45 minutes. How much more than that are you doing? I don't know, you get on the train, got to catch up on all your emails that you didn't read during the daf. Right? It's reasonable. You got to come to work and see which meetings do I have today. You got to prepare. You have to know. On your way home, you're so exhausted, you just fall asleep on the train. If you're like me, you miss your stop because you're so exhausted and you just keep going. So, how much time do you think people learn? He quotes the Prisha here. And the Prisha writes, Osan Balabatim. He says, you know, those working individuals, She'enam Lomdim Ragimel Odalit Shos Bayom. You know, those people in the neighborhood that work, and as a result of that, they're busy, and we understand, and it makes sense. And as a result of their busyness, they only have 3 or 4 hours that they're able to learn. Like, when was the last time you heard of anybody in our shul who sits down and has a 3 or 4 hour night seder after they come home from work? It's a very serious expectation. So he says, those people who only have 3 or 4 hours, what should they do? Lo yomadu b'shas l'chud. Those people shouldn't be learning through the Gemara. Elo yomad halachos psukos. They should be learning Shulchan Aruch. Because if you only have 3 to 4 hours to learn a day, how do you think you're ever going to know all of Shulchan Aruch that you have to know on a day-to-day basis? You'll never get to it if you're busy learning the Gemara. You'll never get to the Shulchan Aruch. So the Prisha writes, obviously if you're learning 7, 8 hours a day, you'll get to everything. But if you're only learning 3 to 4 hours a day, your priority needs to be to learn halacha. Kedei sheyeda eich lehisnaig lemaisa. So that I thought was just an astounding comment. That obviously the Balabatim in Prisha land, wherever they lived, I don't know where that was, but obviously in that neighborhood, 3 to 4 hours was the people who were like the average. The average. Everybody else was learning more than that. Should just give us a little chizuk to, you know, to think about what we can be doing and what they would write about us. I don't know. I don't have too much time to learn every day either. So it's an interesting question. 3 to 4 hours of serious learning every day is a very amazing commitment, as outlined here by the Prisha. Anyway, he writes that the importance of understanding the halacha, and he says it's so relevant to know the halacha. And he outlines here, we don't have to read this paragraph because we know it, but he says, if you don't learn halacha, you don't know how to say Kriya Shema, you don't know how to put on tefillin, you don't know how to daven, you don't know how to bench, you don't know anything about brachos. And he says, think about how many violations you can violate just because of your own ignorance. So it's important, he says, that we spend time trying to remember that the focus needs to be on halacha lemaisa, because halacha lemaisa is really what is going to give us the opportunity to better serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Go on to the next side of the page where he writes, Bifrat bizmanenu, the second paragraph here. And certainly in our days, Sha'alul kal adam, and I'm amazed that he writes this in the 1930s, and it's only 1,000 times more true today. He says, "Alul kol adam lios noded mimakama ba'artzas rechoko shadarke hatora muzar mehem." He says you have businessmen today who they don't just do business in the town; they have to travel here, travel there. They're going to different places, so they're not anchored any longer in the shtetl. It's not the way it works. V'choshvim al kama ikari hatora shehem rak minik shal yadus ba'alma. He says you go to different places and they don't really know anything, so you're just relying. You're not relying on your traditions because you don't have the traditions. You're not there in the community that you grew up in. And he's saying how once in a while a businessman used to travel and he lost his anchor. You know, today we travel on our phones and our anchor is gone in 1 second. So, writes the Chafetz Chaim, it's even more important. And look what he writes in the next paragraph. Dimyon lazeh. The Shnei Gvirim, he says, there are two wealthy individuals. She'osin chupas b'neihem be'emtza haderech al eza tachana. Their children get engaged, they're trying to arrange for a wedding, and they make a wedding at a certain location. They don't want to make it in my town or in his town, it's too far for everybody, so they make it halfway, in a town somewhere halfway. So what does each family bring along? So you bring along your gown, you bring along your suit, you bring along a couple of things that you're not going to be able to get there. But Reis HaChafetz Chaim, Lechem ein mevim imam, do they have to bring bread along? No, they don't have to bring bread along. Why? Because every single community serves has bread that you can buy in the store. So I don't have to bring along bread with me. I can just go to the supermarket and buy some. Kichoshim shebevada yasigu sham leknosam. Avalam yikra sheyaskimu lasos chupas b'neim al eim haderech. Let's say they decide to make a wedding as a destination wedding on a private island somewhere. And there's nowhere to buy anything there. There is nothing to buy. Writes the Chafetz Chaim, in such a case, you have to pack up everything along. Why? Because you're not going to be able to buy anything there. So you have to bring everything in advance, even the most essential items that are sold in every supermarket in every town. This town doesn't have a supermarket. You're going to a destination island somewhere. You don't have that luxury. And therefore, writes the Chafetz Chaim, it used to be, that even though people ventured out of their homes, they had the essentials with them. It was a given, he says. I didn't have to tell my children, says the Chafetz Chaim, I didn't have to warn them to keep kosher. They do to keep kosher. I had to tell them the details of what it means to keep kosher. That when this spoon gets mixed up with that pot and whatever, so this is how you do it. I had to teach them the details of the halacha. I didn't have to tell my children to keep Shabbos. They knew that they need to keep Shabbos. Do they know every last detail of what it means to keep Shabbos? No. So I explained it to them. But it was fine-tuning. It was just bringing along those extras. Writes the Chafetz Chaim, he's writing in the 1930s again, that we live in a generation where we don't have the essentials. He says, back then, somebody would stand up and give a whole drasha and shul, everybody has to keep Shabbos. They would laugh at him. We're here. Of course we're keeping Shabbos. Everybody has to keep kosher. What do you mean everyone has to keep kosher? We all know we have to keep kosher. What kind of speech is that? Says the Chafetz Chaim, unfortunately we live in a generation where we need to go back to the essentials. We need to go back to the basics. Think about how many children in our community end up on college campuses, and yes, they don't remember about keeping Shabbos. And keeping kashrus is no longer a priority for them. And wearing tefillin every day is unfortunately something that is very easily forgotten. Writes the Chafetz Chaim, when you live in a generation where there are people who are going very far away from the anchor that they were raised with, it's important for us as parents and as educators and as people of influence not to condemn them, but to educate them and to encourage them about the essentials, about the basics once again. And the only way we can do that is if we are educated ourselves. Writes the Chafetz Chaim, the greatest way to educate ourselves is to learn halacha, to know what it's all about. When our children ask us a question, we should be able to answer them. And if we can't, we ask a shayla, we look it up. We know where to look it up. I think one of the greatest parts of this chabura is that now people at least have the opportunity to know where to find the answer to a question. Or at least to know what is a shayla. At least to know when something is worthy enough of being asked and not just being ignored, and figure it out on your own. The Gemara says in Maseches Brachos, Oiv Hashem Sharei Tzion Mikol Mishkanos Yisrael. What does it mean, writes the Gemara? Oiv Hashem Sha'arim Hamatsuyanim Behalacha. You can read the rest of this on your own. It's beautiful. But the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the Sha'arim Hamatsuyanim Behalacha, the places where they learn Halacha Lamaisa, more than the Batei Knesiyos Ubatei Midrashos. And as a result of that comment, the Gemara says, Miyom Shecharav Beis HaMikdash, from the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu focuses on now is, where is halacha being studied? That is the essence of the Jewish people. That is where we are. That is what we need to master. It's what we all need to know. And that's what the Gemara says, Kalashona halachas b'chol yom, anyone who makes sure to study halacha every day, muvtach lo shehu ben olam haba. It is assured to that person, it's guaranteed, you can be confident that you will be a member of Olam Haba. Now the Mefarshim struggle with that. What does it mean? Muvtach lo shehu ben Olam Haba. Not every time in the Gemara when we talk about Olam Haba does it say you are absolutely guaranteed a place in Olam Haba. So what does it mean here? Kol hashana halachas b'chol yom. Someone who focuses on halacha every day and makes it a priority. Muvtach lo shehu ben Olam Haba. So one of the Mefarshim says so beautifully. He says, when you're traveling out in Arizona and you want to go on a hike somewhere, so you can either follow the trail, and if you follow the trail with the trail markers, you will definitely get to where you're supposed to get, to the destination, right? It's baduk u'menusa. Many people have done this, many people have gotten there, and you're going to do the same. That's one way to get there. The other way to get there is, oh, I'm going to be the wise guy. I'm going to try to go around this tree, go around that path. Maybe it's going to meet up later. So you might ultimately end up in that same location. You might yes, you might no. It's not clear. One way that you know for sure that you're going to end up in the trail where you're supposed to be is if you follow the trail. That is certain. That is definite. And they explain that that's what it means. There are many things, you know, people have all kinds of skulas and all kinds of different ideas. It reminds me of a story of Rabbi Yashiv. In the biography of Rabbi Yashiv that Art Scroll published, I saw a story once that when he was invited to a seventh generation grandson that was born. I think it was seventh. I don't even know how you say that. But he was invited to be the Sandik in Bnei Brak of a seventh generation grandson. How's that possible? I guess if he had a child at 20 and then everybody else subsequently did the same. I'm not sure how. And he lived till over 100, I believe. So maybe, roughly. It was at the very end of his life. So it says that they invited him to be the Sandik at this great, 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 great grandchild's bris in Bnei Brak. And he said, I'm sorry, I have a busy schedule, I'm not able to make it. And his grandchildren were so offended. What do you mean you're not able to make it? This is a great, 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 great grandchild's bris. So he said, I have a very busy schedule. I'm not going to be able to make it. I have a learning schedule, I have things I need to do. So his grandson came to him and he said, you know that they say in the name of the Mekubalim that if you are a sandik at a seventh generation grandchild, you go straight to Olam Haba. So how often are you going to have the opportunity? You're going to pass that up? He said, Rabbi Yashiv turned to him, he looked him in the face, and he said, my plan is to walk into Olam Haba through the front door. I don't need back door entries. It's an amazing story. But that's what I'm reminded of. Somebody who learns halacha, kalashon halachas b'chol yom, muvtachlo shehu ben Olam Haba. Is it possible that you get into Olam Haba other ways? Maybe this way, maybe that way. You take the other route. Maybe you'll end up there, maybe not. You want to know what is the guaranteed path to ensure that you are going to be a person who is in Olam Haba? It means you go on the path of Talmud Torah. It means you go on the path of Shona Halachas B'chol Yom. That is Muvtach Lo. That is an absolute guarantee that that is the path into Olam Haba that will get you to the destination where you belong. The Chafetz Chaim writes somewhere else in the Sefer. What does it mean when we say Muvtach Lo Shehu Ben Olam Haba? Don't we say Kol Yisrael Yesh Lahem Chelak L'Olam Haba? So everybody's going to be there. So what does it mean you're going to be for sure a Ben Olam Haba? He says there's a major difference. You ever go to the White House before? Anyone ever been there? Right? So you go to the White House or you go to some very elegant place. So let's take the White House as an example. You have secretaries who work there. And there are certain parameters of what they're allowed to do, what they're not allowed to do. They can't just walk into any room they want to. They don't have access to go anywhere they want. Certain places they have access to, certain places they don't. And if they overstep the boundaries, they're out. If they're found in a location which is a top secret location, which has secret files of the country, they'll be arrested. They're not allowed to be there. That's what it means, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lahem Chelek L'Olam Haba. Every Jew is going to have an opportunity to be a secretary in Olam Haba. You'll get in. You'll get in. You'll watch what's going on. You'll be in the bleachers somewhere. You'll be there. What does it mean to be a Ben Olam Haba? What does it mean to be a Ben Olam Haba? Says the Chafetz Chaim, it means if you are the child of the president in the White House, you have full access to go anywhere. No one's going to stop you. No one's going to stop you from going anywhere. And if you inappropriately overstep, you're not going to get arrested. You know, they'll tell you, don't do it again. But you belong there. This is my house. I'm a Ben Olam Haba. Writes the Chafetz Chaim, there's different sections in Olam Haba. You go to a ball game, we all know there's different sections. Sometimes you're actually very involved in the game, and other times you're just a spectator. You're all the way on the outs. Writes the Chafetz Chaim, you don't just want a Chelek L'Olam Haba. You want to be a Ben Olam Haba. I want to be the child of the president who's living in the White House. I want to be that person. All access pass. That's where I belong. Writes the Chafetz Chaim, you want that? Kol Hashana Halachas B'chol Yom Muvtach Lo Shehu Ben Olam Haba. You have this kind of attitude of life, of trying to learn Halacha every single day and making it a priority in your schedule. You are guaranteed not just a place in Olam Haba, but you are a Ben Bayis of Olam Haba. It's where you belong. It's where you feel comfortable. It's where everybody's comfortable with you being. And there's nothing that's out of bounds for you. You get the full access pass to do everything that is enjoyable in Olam Haba. And that is what the Gemara promises us. The Gemara has a discussion in a few places, Maseches Tainis, Maseches Sanhedrin, about what it means to learn Torah Lishma. and the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos Res. Kala lama Torah lishma grezocha ledvarim harbe. If somebody learns Torah lishma, yezocha to a lot of things. What does it mean to learn Torah lishma? What does it mean to learn Torah lishma? So some mistakenly thought it means that I'm not allowed to enjoy my learning. Torah lishma means I have to hate the learning, but I do it anyway because I love God. Is that really what Torah lishma means? The Avnei Nezer says that's ridiculous. That's insane. Pekudei Hashem Yishar Masam Chilei. We're supposed to love the Torah. It's not that I'm supposed to hate it and I do it anyway because God tells me to do it. It's not what it means. So what is Torah lishma? How do you define it? How do you really define what Torah lishma means? Explains the Sefer Chassidim, Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. I'm going to read you what he says. If a person wants to learn Torah lishma, ketzad yachshav belibo kishe yilmad. What is he supposed to think when he learns for it to be considered Torah lishma? Answers the Sefer Chassidim that he makes up in his mind as he's learning, kol ma she'alamed akayim. Everything that I'm going to learn, I will observe. That is Torah lishma. What an amazing definition. Kol ma she'elmad akayim. Everything that I will learn. So we're studying Hilchos Shabbos. Everything that I'm going to learn, I take upon myself that I'm going to observe. And even if it means that I might have been doing something wrong for the last 25 years, it's okay. I'll be intellectually honest enough with my family to say, you know what? This is what we learn. This is what we do. My father tells me all the time that he used to give a weekly shiur in KJ in the city for many, many years. And he said at one point they were learning Hilchos Mezuzah in Shulchan Aruch. Hilchos Mezuzah happens to be very complicated. Really figuring out which side of the door it's supposed to be on, which rooms are chayiv, which rooms are not chayiv. So my father said that you can't learn all of Hilchos Mezuzah in one night. So it took many, many weeks to learn all of Hilchos Mezuzah. And they were going through it and explaining everything. And he said every week people would come back. Okay, I switched it to this side. Now the next week they came back. No, I switched it to that room. I put it in this room. Oh, I put it back in the other room. And he said it was beautiful to see how people really were taking whatever they were learning and internalizing it and figuring out how does this apply to the life that I'm living. Reminds me of a beautiful story when there was somebody who built a big, very fancy apartment in Yerushalayim. And on Sukkot every year, Reb Chaim Kanievsky goes from Bnei Brak to Yerushalayim. I'm sure everybody's seen these pictures. So this person had asked Reb Chaim Kanievsky to come visit his house. And he said, we just moved into the house. I want you to put up the mezuzah on the door. So, I don't know, somehow he convinced Reb Chaim to waste a few minutes of his precious time and to come look at his beautiful house that Reb Chaim probably had no interest in looking at. But okay, he came to the house and he starts showing him around. He says, you know, once we have the Gadol Hador here, let me show you around. Maybe you can tell me. I put the mezuzah on this side, the other side, each room. He's showing him all around. And he was really excited to show him one of the rooms in the house that was really modern. It was a really cool room. And it had drop ceilings and one doorway in front of another doorway and doors that come in, doors that go out, invisible doors, all kinds of things. And he was really excited. And he came into the room and he asked Reb Chaim, so where do I put the mezuzah? Reb Chaim said, I don't know. It's a good shaila. I don't know. And he started to laugh. And this man couldn't understand what's he laughing about. So he turned to Reb Chaim's son. He said, ask your father, what's so funny? So Reb Chaim told his son, I'll tell you what's so funny. He said, this man thinks I'm laughing because it's a shaila where you put the mezuzah. It's not what I meant. I meant, it's a shaila if you can live in this house. If you don't know where the mezuzah goes, how are you living in such a house? So it's just a matter of perspective. What do you care more about? About where you put the mezuzah up? Or how your house looks? Reb Chaim said, he thinks that the question is, where do we put up the mezuzah? I think the question is, how do you live in such a house where you don't know where the mezuzah goes? Very interesting perspective. But how is one supposed to learn halacha? And that, what I think, is the final point of what we're going to discuss tonight, because it's so important. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh writes, Nira, it seems to me, she'ein maspik la'adam lomar, alame dine iser beheter b'shulchan aruch, shechiber maran Rabbi Yosef Karo. Somebody might say, you know, I'm going to open up the Shulchan Aruch, I'm going to look at the halacha, which is amazing. Or I'm going to open up today, we have so many kitzur svarim, so many things that just tell you the answers to everything you might want. And he says, maybe that's the right way to go. And he says, the truth is that although sometimes when you have a quick shaila, that is the way to do it. But he says, You have to understand that all of this is rooted in Shas and Poskim. It all comes from earlier sources. And sometimes if you don't fully appreciate where the Psak comes from, you're going to make a mistaken application of the Psak as well, because you don't understand the foundation of where it all stemmed from. And therefore he writes, this is what the Yerushalmi tells us, Kol Torah she'en la beis av, eina Torah. If your Torah doesn't have a foundation to it, it's not. There's something lacking. What I think is very special about what we're going to embark on over the next couple of months is that we have the opportunity not only to be Kovei Ha'itim and learn Torah together every Wednesday evening, but we have the opportunity to do it b'chabura. As we said, learning Torah b'chabura is something that is extremely valuable for a number of reasons. On top of that, we're not just learning Torah b'chabura, we're learning halacha l'maisa, which is supposed to be all of our priorities. It's supposed to be something that we focus our attention on, because we have to know how to keep Shabbos. We have to know how to observe the mitzvos. U'shmartem va'asisem. The expectation of all of us is not just that we're going to learn, but that we also observe. Kol ma she'alamed akayim. Everything that we're going to learn, we pledge that we're also going to keep, and we're going to observe to the best of our ability. But on top of that, we don't just learn the halacha, but we go down to the foundations of the halacha. We look at all the gemaras, we look into all the sugyas, we start with the source in the psukim and chumash, we advance from there to the mishnah, to the gemara, to the rishonim, to the shulchan aruch, and to all the later poskim. And that's the way a sugya and halacha is supposed to be learned. Having that beisav, having that foundation, and going forth from there to have an appreciation of what the bottom line psak halacha is going to be in the end, is something that is extremely valuable, and it's a very rich experience for all of us. So Amir Tashem, I look forward